Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Ruth Kennedy was appointed Revenue Commissioner in July of this year, and she joins me in the studio now. Ruth, good morning to you.
Good morning, Clare.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me in this morning.
It's quite the time to be appointed to the Revenue Board. Huge economic uncertainty. We have a cost of living crisis and a really significant budget on the way too. And people are very worried, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'd agree about the winter, and that's very clear. How will Revenue approach all of this in the sense that for people who are really struggling financially now, what kind of leeway can be shown by Revenue?
Yeah, you're correct. It's a very uncertain time for people. It's challenging for businesses and individuals, the current economic, financial, geopolitical climate that we're operating in. And Revenue are conscious and understand that businesses and individuals alike can face cash flow difficulties at a time like this, which may make it difficult for them maybe to meet some of their tax liabilities, current tax liabilities at this time. I suppose the key message I would give to those individuals is Revenue has a long track record of successfully working with taxpayers who engage with us early when they're in payment difficulty. So early engagement is key. Don't let, you know, debt build up. Make sure the minute you are worried about your ability to pay your current taxes that you contact Revenue. And Revenue can work flexibly with businesses and individuals alike. We have a number of phased payment arrangements we can offer people that allow them spread out their tax liability over a longer period, pay in installments, spread it out up to 5 years. But crucial is early engagement.
Mm-hmm. Make come forward and talk.
Come forward and talk to us. And make sure you keep filing your current tax returns and come forward and talk to us. Our Collector General's Division, based in Limerick, will work flexibly with people. They'll come to arrangements with people. But you have to come forward and engage.
Because we had a number of businesses on yesterday and they're just really worried about paying the energy bills. Mm-hmm. And the tax bill for them is undoubtedly going to be a challenge mm-hmm. this year. I mean, are you prepared for that? Are you having those conversations?
Absolutely. We're always having those conversations. Different parts of the economy are often have cash flow difficulties, and the Collector General has a long track record of successfully helping people resolve payment issues. Early engagement is important. And you saw through the COVID pandemic, through the debt warehousing scheme we offered, how Revenue worked with businesses experiencing difficulties during the pandemic, and the scheme allowed businesses mm-hmm. to park their debt up until the end of 22 and into April 23.
But you don't have the capacity to do that now.
Well, no, we have a warehouse that exists. There's 84,000 entities availing of that debt warehouse, and there's 2.8 billion in the warehouse. But always with any debt, as long as there's early engagement by the taxpayer, by businesses, and they work constructively with us to come up with suitable payment arrangements, we will always work constructively with viable businesses.
On the other end of the scale, people, individuals who pay too much tax. Mm-hmm. What percentage of taxpayers pay too much?
Yeah, so interestingly, since 2019, we've been receiving real-time pay and tax information from employers every time they employ every time they pay their employees. And at January, the start of January every year, we make available to individuals a preliminary end-of-year statement. So it's a preliminary tax calculation based on the information Revenue holds on the individual. So their pay, their tax from employment, and the credits they're entitled to. Employees then may come in and submit their tax return. Very simple. They confirm the data Revenue has for them, and then they can claim potentially additional credits they're entitled to, medical expenses, the remote working relief, a lot of people working from home, and they must also declare any additional income they're entitled to. So if you just look at 2021, the tax year that's just passed, we've already had in excess of 620,000 individuals who submitted their income tax return and received over 430 million. In refunds. Mm-hmm. Based on our preliminary data, we estimate there's a further 400,000 people who may be entitled to a refund, but they need to come in and finalise their tax affairs. They need to claim any additional credits or declare any additional income they have. And once they do that, it's very quick, easy to do.
Where do people start, though, Ruth, with that process? Mm-hmm. Like, how can they check all of that?
Yeah, so we have been proactively contacting taxpayers over the summer. We've contacted over 60,000 taxpayers who we believe are potentially in a position where they're due a refund, and we've been contacting them through our My Account platform, which is our online platform. I will say it's very important to remember, and you know, scams can happen all the time. Revenue will never send you a link in an email. They'll never ask you to fill in a claim form from a link in an email. They will always direct you to the website, and there you log into My Account and you can manage your tax there. So it's up to individuals to manage their tax, and they can see that preliminary statement. They can log in and check for every year what their preliminary statement is. I am conscious that some people who obviously aren't able to access online, and we are starting a campaign of writing letters to individuals who don't use our online services as well to make them aware.
Okay. So 620,000 people have made a claim.
Have made a tax return, yes.
And you've contacted 60,000 people who you think might be eligible to make a claim, but there's still a huge amount of people there who potentially might be owed money back.
Absolutely, and we're continuing to contact them. So we started that campaign of contacting them through our My Account platform, and we've been learning as we go. People registered their email address with us. We've noticed some people aren't reading the documents that we're sending them, so we're following up with paper in that instance. But I would urge people to log on to My Account. You can use your MyGovID password, which a lot of people have from during the pandemic, or you can log into My Account, and it's presented there. You can log in and you can see if there's a potential refund.
And can you tell us in broad terms how you've identified the 60,000 people who might be owed something back?
Yeah, so it's based on the preliminary end of year statement that we make available. We have done a preliminary tax calculation based on the information we hold about the individual, but they may have extra credits to claim, so medical expenses that we don't know about, or the remote working relief, but they also may have income from rental properties or maybe from tuition or something else where they earn income, and they need to declare that too. So we can't finalise the position until they complete the return.
Okay. On property tax, can you tell us how many properties and how many property owners have not paid their property tax now, or perhaps have undervalued their property?
Mm-hmm. So last year was a very big year for property tax. It was the first time we asked all property owners to revalue their properties and to submit a property tax return, which would perform the basis of what local property tax they'd owe from 2022 to 2025. My colleague Katie Clare was on with you. Before the property tax deadline, and we have had really, really good engagement from property owners. We contacted over 1.4 million property owners last year in respect of 2 million properties. And the latest data I have available to me is that we have a 96% payment compliance rate. We have a 92% return compliance rate, which is slightly lower because some individuals are continuing to pay their property tax and they're meeting their obligations in terms of paying, but haven't filed the return. So we're proactively contacting any of those taxpayers to remind them of the need to both pay and file for property tax.
The vast majority of people, property owners, are paying their property tax, but are they paying the right property tax? That's the other question, isn't it?
Yeah. And we have done detailed analysis of the valuations, and we've published on our website under our statistics section detailed analysis of the valuations. And we have found that the people are paying in line with expectations and have valued their properties in line with expectations. We always carry out a review of the data. We look at property sales, we look at prices, our values declared by other people in similar types of property, and we have an interactive tool on our website that allows people to see average property prices within their area.
So when it comes to property tax then, do you do spot checks? You know, or are you going through every single property tax return to make sure that the person has valued it at the right level?
Yeah, we've done macro analysis across the entirety of the country, and that is all published and shows in the various different council areas within the country.
I suppose what I'm asking you is, if you've undervalued your property, can you expect to get a call or a letter from Revenue?
We review all valuations. We do spot checks. We look at the data. We take a risk-based approach on doing any of our interventions. We have mapping tools that we use, and we use all data available to us. And if we find that there is a risk, we will intervene. Mm-hmm. If you're selling your property as well, obviously there's a review done of your property tax and the sale price that is being paid at the time. So it is a self-assessment tax, and it is up to people people to provide a fair valuation for their property.
And ultimately, if you don't catch them out beforehand, you'll get them when the property is sold.
Yeah.
To put it plainly. Now, on the returns as well, tax returns, if somebody gets a non-salary benefit, and you've touched on some of this here, talk us through how this works. I mean, there could be shares in a company they work for. It could be additional holiday leave. So if an employer is worried about cash pressures this year, they might see these types of payments as an alternative. Now, that's going to affect your tax return, isn't it?
Well, shares are an interesting one, and we're seeing a lot more employers using shares as part of an overall remuneration package, and employees need to understand the tax implications of receiving shares. There's a small number of approved share schemes where the tax is applied through the payroll, but the majority of people who maybe receive discounted shares, free shares, are an option to exercise shares. They are responsible for paying the tax due on that. So if you exercise a share option, you are liable to pay the tax within 30 days from when you exercise that share option.
What does exercise a share option mean?
So you may be granted the ability to buy shares at a set price, and there may be a time in which you can buy those shares. So you may be offered to buy shares at a euro within 3 years, and you buy them, and the day you buy them, actually the share is worth 3 euros. So you've made a gain of 2 euros, and that gain is subject to what is known as relevant tax share options, which includes income tax, USC and PRSI. And employees have to pay that within 30 days.
Okay, so this is different to if you decide to sell the shares. You're paying capital gains tax on the share.
Yeah, so you may be you will be liable to both. So if you buy and you've received a gain, you're liable to the relevant tax share options. If you then dispose of shares and make a gain, you may be liable to capital gains tax. And the other one to remember is if you keep the shares and they entitle you to a dividend, employees must report that dividend payment in their annual tax return.
All right, so it mightn't be as attractive as it looks.
There's tax implications and people need to be aware of them. There's a lot of information on our website. There's some short videos we've recently put up because we are aware that employees are receiving more and more shares, and it's important that they understand their obligations. And we get a return every year now from employers. So employers will tell us every employee who's engaged in any of the share schemes. So it's important that employees understand their tax obligations.
There's been a lot of change, and you mentioned people who can claim now expenses for or tax relief on remote working, but there are some people who are working in other parts of the world for companies that are based here, perhaps working here for companies based in other parts of the world. How are you dealing with all of that?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a changing world, changing economy. I suppose technology has merged as a big disruptor. There's new business models, there's new income streams, and all of that needs to be considered in terms of the tax implications. So individuals need to understand where they are tax resident and where they need to pay tax. There's a lot of reporting requirements on employers, and there will be further reporting requirements as part of EU regulations. Regulations on payment service providers. So there's a lot of data available to revenue so that we can understand where tax is due. And if people are uncertain, again, I would urge people to contact revenue and discuss any specifics of a case.
Ruth, thank you very much for coming in, and we wish you well as new revenue commissioner. That's Ruth Kennedy. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.